I didn't really think it was ever going to happen for us, and to score the winning goal, it's just every shooter's dream, and I'm having the best day of my life right now.
These medals just for today, and we actually want to win the World Cup.
Hi, I'm Juba Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show.
Scotland has been doing a really good job on the international stage.
We are thrilled that we've finally been able to announce Dan Lyon as our new senior head coach.
Welsh netball is in a really strong position at the moment. It's a real privilege for captain both the Celtic Dragons and the Welsh national team.
Welcome to The Netball Show with Mizuno. I'm Sasha Shipway. This week, we hear from Fran Williams.
The game overall was really good, making sure we won every quarter, and that's been a focus for us recently, is just making sure that we see out the game and we attack each quarter like we attack the start.
And we have a special interview with Team Bath's super shooter, Kim Comain.
Put this on the record, I could hardly call Mia young, she's 29. Come on, man.
Hi, this is Beth Eckyardell, and you're listening to The Netball Show with Mizuno.
First, we've been teasing it online at The Netball Show all this week, and we can now share the full details of our first ever prize with Mizuno. It's a good one, but you'll need to be quick. All you have to do is listen out for the phrase, reach beyond, as part of an interview over the next couple of podcasts. Might it be today's? When you hear it, we need to know who said it and at what time it happened in the podcast.
Email this information into us at mizuno@thenetballshow.co.uk before Wednesday the 17th of April for your chance to win. Full terms and conditions are at thenetballshow.co.uk/mizuno. This is what one lucky winner will get. Two VIP tickets to the Ricoh Arena Games on Sunday the 21st of April, including VIP lounge access with food and drink, one cuddly toy of Sting, the Wasps mascot, and, this is a really big one, a signed Wasps kit from the current squad. So make sure you enter.
It's a very special prize, thanks to Mizuno, and a great gift for any Wasps fan. So, a reminder, you're listening out for Reach Beyond in the podcast. Who said it and at what time? Email us to win, and don't worry, as we'll mention it again before we go on the episode.
Don't forget about our special Netball World Cup extra podcast this week. We launched it when there are exactly 100 days to go until the World Cup, and now there's even less, so we're counting down. We were at the launch where we heard from Jade Clark and also checked in with Netball Scotland's CEO Claire Nelson and Claire Maxwell, and Netball Northern Ireland's Dan Ryan and Caroline O'Hanlon. Plus, Nat and I had a little chat where we got our geek on about the countdown to the World Cup. Zara is here to tell us more on how it works.
So this is how it will work. 16 teams around the world will compete for the ultimate prize, the Netball World Cup 2019. England qualified as the host nation, and Jamaica, Australia, New Zealand, Malawi and South Africa also automatically qualified as the top ranked teams. Two further teams qualified from each of the INF regions, Europe, Oceania, Africa, Americas and Asia. The World Cup will take place in Liverpool over 20 exciting sessions of netball from the 12th to the 21st of July. For our home teams, Northern Ireland are first up against Australia, England face Uganda and Scotland face Samoa. Then on the Saturday, England plays Scotland and the World Cup bronze medal and final will take place on Sunday the 21st of July. See you there!
Seven Stars have been deducted 3 points by the Super League.
Seven Stars put out a statement saying, "We were disappointed to learn we have been deducted 3 points due to an error which occurred during a recent match against Manchester Thunder. Unfortunately, we positioned two overseas players in the same third of the court at the same time for a short period in breach of Vitality Netball Super League rules. The team have accepted the error and are looking to concentrate on the rest of the season."
Back in the Super League, Dragons were beaten 52-53 by Stars. What did Sam Bird make of the game?
Players have started believing in what's been set for them. They're playing with structure, they're playing with determination. The connections that have taken a while to build because it's a new squad again has really come together now, and they are playing really well together as a group, and I'm really proud of that because it's taken a while.
Lightning beat Mavericks 54-49.
Sunday saw Wasps beat Pole 67-35, and it was a game that saw Beth Dix make her Super League debut, something Mel Mansfield was pleased to be able to do.
"She's a special person to me, Beth. She's worked tirelessly with us since September, and it's the second time she's made it to the 12, actually. She was in round one for Super 10, but didn't make the court. So I had a target in my head that if we got ourselves to a certain point that she was going to get some court time today, and she did. I'm delighted.
Mel also shared with us her overall thoughts of the game.
Yeah, it was a good win for lots of reasons today. It was about getting some belief and confidence back in this team. And actually, do you know what? I'm so delighted that they pushed on and won big, because that's what we needed to do. They won every quarter and increasingly won every quarter. So that was really pleasing for me. So not the finished article, but we're not aiming for the finished product yet. We've got a lot of rounds to play yet.
It was a high intensity display throughout, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, it was. And you know, having come off the back of 2 1-goal losses, what was really important today was that we didn't have any lapses of concentration in those quarters. I still think that can get better, and it will get better. We can't afford to switch off for 1 minute, 2 minutes here and there. But overall, I'm really pleased with the performance today.
I thought personally that Tamsin Mwala was excellent when she came on, made a good impact. How much does she looking to get more action?
Yeah, it was really interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, she's a new player to our squad and hasn't had the pressure situation of being in a top team before. So you've got to know your players really well and know when it's right to put them on and when it's right to give them opportunities. She has had some court time, but not significant court time. And she knows that we're waiting for the safe time to put her on, where she feels really confident. And I think that was the right time today to give her some exposure, and she came on with great impact.
It really is a squad game, isn't it? And
this yeah, it really is a squad game. It's about who you got in your 12, managing the players, replacing players for the right reasons at the right time. And, you know, that's my job to do that, and I do my very best to do the right things at the right time, even though not everyone agrees, but, you know, that is the plan.
Fran Williams from Wasps made her first ever full Super League game.
The game overall was really good. Started like much stronger than we have in some other games, and you know, just making sure we won every quarter, and that's been a focus for us recently, is just making sure that we see out the game and we attack each quarter like we attack, you know, the start. Had lots of different combinations out there. Great to see Tamsin Mwala come on and like put up some long shots. Personally for me, it was my first ever full Super League game, so it's nice to tick that one off. And yeah, now back to winning ways, which is the positive, and you know, to reach beyond now.
Are you looking forward to the games over Easter as well? How intense will that be as a player, or is it just more a case of you're going to be there and you're going to be playing lots of games? Is that easy for you?
I'm looking forward to it. It should be like a great spectacle of netball, and it's nice to have lots of different teams all in the same place for the fans to be able to watch. I think physically it will be tough, but you know, we're used to going away, particularly internationally, with competitions where at World Cups and things where you play back-to-back. So all the players are fully up to doing it. And also that's why we have such a strong 12 in the squad for moments like this, when you need to be able to use and rest players.
Beth came on as well. That's nice for her to get in front of the fans.
So lovely for her to get her Super League debut. She worked so hard in training, really, really dedicated. And yeah, I'm just so pleased for her that she's got a chance to do it at a home crowd.
Do we look towards England? Do we dare mention England at all, or is it just a case of if Tracy gives you a call, then you'll answer?
Yeah, I will answer, obviously, if she calls me. But no, at the moment, my focus is purely on Wasps. There's a bit of England selection going on over Easter, but, you know, we're in the middle of the Super League now and won't start thinking about England until the summer. So Wasps is the focus for now.
Pulse's T. Keenan told The Netball Show where things are going wrong for Pulse at the minute.
To be honest, just our basic skills are letting us down. They're lacking in confidence, as you can well imagine, with, you know, so many losses in a row. And so that has kind of got depleted. Combinations, you know, we've had a lot of sickness in the team this last week. And so, you know, combinations probably haven't been established at trainings or anything like that. But it's the basics of the game that is our undoing at the moment. I mean, you know, we can put some good ball in and we can shoot some good shots. I mean, Chara's shooting stats were lower than, volume was lower, but percentage-wise, she wasn't too bad. We tried 3 shooters. We've got some injuries to Chantel, so gave us the opportunity to try our other 2 shooters. And, you know, it's getting the ball in when you've got 2 ginormous defenders in there. It's getting the ball in.
There were signs, though. I felt there were signs.
Yeah, there were signs. There's always signs. In all of our games, there's signs, you know what I mean? But we let ourselves down, and it's execution of the skills that we need to go forward. they still turn up to training, they still train, you know, it's normal, but our resilience in up against these tough guys is not that great. Now, we were better when we played them early on, but now teams are starting to refine their lineups and starting to be a lot more clinical, and so we are struggling with that because we're not as clinical as what we could be.
Sirens were beaten 36-62 in front of the Sky cameras on Monday, as Storm were also beaten 48-57 goals in their game against Bath.
Last week was the final of Bucks, with the University of Hertfordshire clinching the victory over the University of Birmingham, and everyone has had a chance to reflect on it. The University of Hearts' Mel Mansfield sent us her thoughts on their win.
Just to say, absolutely delighted that Hearts has managed to back up their win of 2018. So chuffed for the players. It was a tricky final for loads of reasons. Didn't feel particularly comfortable playing against some of my WASP pathway players and Fran Williams and Danny Titmus. So really hard to celebrate hard in front of them. And it was a cracking final and they gave us a really good run and didn't allow us actually to run away with the game or play that well. So delighted for the WASPs franchise to have such representation, but hugely proud of the University of Hertfordshire players for delivering such a good season, not just the final, but such a consistent season, winning Prem South and the Cup, which has never been done before by our university. So delighted, another piece of history made. Last year we made history by winning the final, the first ever Hertfordshire team to do so in any sport, and this year we have done the double league and final and backed up our Cup win, so really delighted.
Their captain is Beth Dix.
Obviously 3 years at Hertfordshire University and three Bucks finals for me. First year against Loughborough, where we lost, unfortunately. Then my second year, we played Bath last year in the final, and we won by 3 goals, so a really great year again last year. And then this year, we managed to make UH history by winning against Birmingham in the final. It was such a good game, such a good week, really high contest. And it was really lovely to be able to captain the team to make UH history, winning back-to-back finals and winning the league and the cup. That was an amazing way to finish my university experience. And then followed by Sunday's game, where I made my Super League debut for WASPs. Absolutely incredible. There's nothing that could summarise it for me. I'm absolutely delighted to have got the opportunity, and I'm just so grateful to be in the team with all the girls. They're all so supportive and I learned so much from them. So just a massive thanks to Mel for the opportunity, and hopefully there'll be many more.
Well, the University of Birmingham's coach is Danny Titmus.
I've had a few days to digest the game, and I think there's the initial sting of not winning, which hurts. And whilst we completely appreciate, we went into that as underdogs, we played against a really experienced side. You know, they've had the last 3 seasons they've been in that Bucks final, and this is our first. And you look at the depth of their squad in terms of how many of those athletes are playing across Super League and, you know, in the 12s and starting sevens. You've got Sam and Fish, who are both super experienced double Super League champions, and we've got Fran, and then everyone else is, you know, a 21s player or a training partner. So we knew going into it we would be underdogs, but once you're there, you're kind of like, well, we're here now, so let's have a crack and go win it. And I think we did really, really well for about 25 minutes of the game. We were with them. We even took the lead at one point, which was exciting. And I think when the game, you know, Cat took a knock, that didn't help. And ultimately we got beat by a better team that had more experience than us. Having said that, I'm so incredibly proud of how the girls conducted themselves on court and off court. I think we had some standout performances. I thought that defensively we were impressive. You look at some of the scorelines that UH have got over the course of the season, and actually we limited them to 54 goals, which, or 53? Maybe it was 50, maybe 52. I can't even remember. I think it was 52. We limited them to 52 goals, which was incredible, really. You know, Fran was outstanding. She was such a classy player. But I also think credit to Maddie Monroe-Hull. You know, she had a tough job up against Fish, and she did really, really well. I mean, you can't argue if Fish is shooting 40 from 40 and getting 100% stats. Can't argue with that once the ball's in her hand. But I think Maddie and Fran did an amazing job to disrupt play and to limit her to actually only 40 goals a game, which for Fish is low. I think Louise Marsden did an incredible amount of work, and I mean, she's so rapid and she's so fit, and perhaps we probably demanded a little bit too much of her throughout in the game. But I thought we were incredible. I thought Ash was an amazing leader. She has been the whole season. Like, I was out for up until Christmas. I wasn't really around that much. And Ash and Fran really had to lead that team. And they've been phenomenal. You know, we won the league. We won it convincingly. And I think our run-up to the final was also really impressive. We had a nervous game against Leeds and played badly, but still managed to win and beat them by more than double. Then we played Bath in our semi, and we played a decent Bath side. You know, obviously they're missing Sharty through injury, but they still had Imogen Allison and Sophie Diel. And we were incredible. You know, we started that game. We went, I think it was like 13-1 up or 12-1 or something like that. And it just, how far these guys have come over the last two seasons is impressive. Like, we got knocked out last year by UH in the quarterfinals. And it wasn't a pretty game. Like, we lost to UH quite heavily. And to see, you know, a very similar team play against a very similar UH team and to actually be competitive. And it was just a great game of netball. But to be competitive for the nearly half a game, it's impressive. So I'm so proud of the girls. And upon reflection, you know what? Second place ain't bad. It's not what we wanted, but it's not bad. But it's been an absolute pleasure to work with all of the athletes in the squad, and credit to the staff behind the scenes as well. Like, we have an incredible guy, Tom Bridge, who just kind of maps the season for us. He's our sports scientist, and he has been, I guess we call him our secret weapon, but he's been phenomenal. You know, and you've got Joe Watkins, who obviously takes care of the girls' S&C, just so that they're peaking at the right times. And we put out a performance that was decent against a really experienced side. We were competitive, and I'm happy with that. Always greedy for more, always looking for how can we be better, and definitely next year we're both hunting them down. And I think listen to Mel's chat last year when she was saying, you know, you've got to lose a couple of finals before you win one. Maybe that's true, maybe that's right. And I think, like, we have learnt from that experience. We'll go away, we'll come back, and we'll be better for it. But yeah, ultimately, super proud of the squad, super proud of the programme that we have in place here at Birmingham. And, you know, what a testament to that is that we had two teams in both the championship final and the trophy final. Really happy, really proud. And now we're looking forward to having a few weeks off.
And Fran Williams told us what it's like to be part of that team.
Game was good, definitely a competitive game. Obviously, unfortunately, we didn't come out with the win, but, you know, Hearts are such a strong uni and they've got some great key core players in there. And I think we definitely attacked it. We challenged for everything. We put them under a bit of pressure and we kept ourselves in the game. And then it was just a shame that some silly errors cost us at the end.
It shows the standing in Birmingham, though, because, I mean, the squad itself had two teams in finals.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of depth at Birmingham Uni because we had our first team there in the championship final and our seconds were in their trophy final. So there's definitely a lot of depth. And I think that helps with the link with Birmingham University and Wasps netball, because a lot of the Bucks girls also play in the Wasps under 21 league, so that just helps to strengthen the university as well.
And they've been fantastic to you as well, haven't they?
Oh yes, yeah, so supportive, like all the scholarship team, and Danny as well, who's the Bucks coach there, so supportive with helping me to balance all my training and uni.
It was really good to see as well. There was a lot of people watching it online, the first time they've ever done that, and really successful.
Yeah, so successful. Loads of people turned into the live stream, and I think also I saw a tweet that said more people tuned in to the live stream of the women's Bucks finals than the men's Bucks finals, so nice to have some girl power in there too.
Great news if you're a fan of Lightning and England's Nat Panagari, as she's been confirmed for the Leeds Rhinos Netball Bootcamp this summer.
Hi, Nat Panagari here. Really looking forward to being a guest coach at the Leeds Rhinos Summer Bootcamp on the 19th and 22nd of August. Hopefully get yourself signed up and I'll see you there.
LeedsRhinosNetball.co.uk/camps for more info on that. And you can bid on a signed Commonwealth Games t-shirt. It's been signed by England's gold medal winning netballers in an auction for the Nick Smith Foundation. It's a money can't buy item, donated to support the charity. Here's Stephen Naylor to tell us more.
Hello, I'm Stephen Naylor, and I wanted to let you know about a money can't buy item which we're currently auctioning for a charity set up in memory of my brother-in-law, who died in December 2017 at the age of just 38 from motor neurone disease. The Nick Smith Foundation has been donated an England Commonwealth Games t-shirt from the Gold Coast last year, which is signed by England's gold medal winning netballers. As we approach the first anniversary of that amazing morning, we hope you'll be generous and bid at nicksmithfoundation.org.uk/auction. Thank you.
We've got plenty going on at thenetballshow.co.uk, including more information on this year's Fast Five, as more teams have been confirmed. Information on Sophia Kandapa expecting her first child, congratulations Sophia, and a brand new player blog from Wasps and University of Birmingham's defender Fran Williams.
That's right, we've also been following Courtney Fern's blogs over the season. In her latest blog, she mentions Wasps Bedford Hub. They're coached by Josie Huckle, and I caught up with her at the Pulse game last week. Courtney's done a blog, Josie. How well would you sum up the performance of the Hubs this season?
It's been really exciting to see all the girls. Obviously, I've been working with the Bedford Hub. I've loved having them. It's been really nice to go to obviously watch all the other games, especially as a 17 head coach. It's been nice to see them and kind of pick players out of there. And it's just a great way for the girls to get exposure and play some games before the NPL tournament in the summer.
What's the standard like for your Hub in particular?
Well, we're unbeaten this year.
That'll do.
Yeah, and so we haven't lost a game, so it's quite exciting. We've got the Hub final to play on the 20th of April, which is really exciting for the girls. They get to play on the show court here before our game versus Storm. So they're really excited to play there. My Hub's incredible. The girls work really hard week in, week out. I've got loads of talent there, loads of girls from across different parts of the country. I'm just really lucky to have them as part of my team.
The nice thing is, as well, playing in somewhere like this as well is just hopefully setting that seed, and eventually they'll end up progressing into the main team. And
yeah, so obviously the Hubs, or they feed into the under 15, under 17 and under 19 NPL teams. Obviously sports games team under 15 doesn't have a team in the NPL, but they feed into that, and it's just good for the girls to get exposure, get more court time for us to see them, and for them to have a chance to train within the WASP setup.
It can happen to any of us.
It does not discriminate.
It can happen to anyone
of any gender. No matter how strong you are, physically or mentally.
It's not always fight or flight. The most common reaction is to freeze.
You are not to blame.
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 The assault is always the fault of the offender.
Never the victim.
Speak out.
The Blue Sky Centre is a sexual assault referral centre. It's open 24/7 and it's available to anybody. Whether or not you report it to the police, you can come here and have a medical checkup. You can have forensic evidence secured in case you ever decide to report it to the police, and we'll look after your health and your ongoing welfare needs. We have comfortable waiting areas, we have shower facilities, and we have interview facilities so that you can be interviewed by the police and have it all done at the same time if that's what you want. Everything that happens here is your choice and it's all up to you.
Hi everyone, I've got some exciting news for you. London Pulse Super League are putting on Easter netball camps so you can learn the Pulse way. The camps run from 10 till 3 p.m. for 2 days, cost £40 per day and are for school years 4 to 9. The locations are as follows. Broomfield Park on the Monday 8th and Tuesday 9th of April, Crystal Palace National Sports Centre, Wednesday 10th and 11th of April, and Barking Abbey School, Monday 15th and Tuesday 16th of April. To book or for more information, email info@londonpulsenetball.com or call on 0208 228 1140.
Hey everyone, it's Rhea Dixon. Come and join me on the 11th and 12th of April at Lady Eleanor Hollis School in Hampton, where I'll be taking 2 day camps for years 4 to 9. I love getting out and meeting new, aspiring, young netballers and passing on my netball knowledge. So for more information and booking, head over to www.passandplay.co.uk and I can't wait to see you there.
Hi, this is Emily Golvin. I'm a Super League netball player for Surrey Storm and also play in Turnford's Prem team.
This Easter holiday, myself, George Fisher and Zara Everett are all coaching specialist technical sessions at Turnford Masterclass Camps. These are open to netballers in school years 7 to 11 and are running from Monday the 8th of April to Friday the 12th. If you want to find out more information, please head to Turnford's Twitter, at TurnfordNC, where there are details on how to book your place.
Hi, I'm Gavs Marshall and this is The Netball Show with Mizuno.
I think for an England netball, change of direction is imperative in our athletes, and that is something that we measure them on against international competition. I think what is really different about the Mizuno shoe is the grip and flex. In netball, it's really important when the girls plant a foot and move, that is just one consistent movement, and over 60 minutes, that gains so much advantage over the opposition.
So as a sports injury specialist, one of my biggest bugbears is seeing netball players playing netball in running shoes. The reason this is annoying for me is because running shoes are designed for running in a linear motion. They're not designed for stop, start, change direction, and looking after the stability of a player as they're coming down from the air. So the benefit of a netball shoe over a running shoe is they're designed to give you more stability and allow you to change direction with better grip, and also allow you to give it a more stable knee and ankle position when coming down from a height, therefore reducing the risk of injury in those two areas.
If you look at our attacking players, who they tend to favour a real light, speedy shoe where the grip and flex really gets them changing direction quite quickly to lose their opponents, where our defenders, where power, strength, stability and support tend to go for the heavier shoe, where that is really crucial. They're so passionate about improving performance, and they've really shown that in working with each of our individual athletes in respect to how they can make small gains and improve their performance.
For the first time in my playing career, I've been able to play pain-free and completely focused on my game.
I found a shoe that makes me feel close to the court and in control of my movements.
After a long history with bad injuries, it's a relief to have found a shoe I feel confident in playing with on court. That's why I love the Wave Phantom.
That's why I love the Wave Stealth.
That's why I love the Wave Mirage.
It's The Netball Show with Mizuno. Our special interview this week is with Kim Conmain from Team Bath. And Andy started by asking her about the Vixens call-up last September.
Yeah, I replaced Naomi Kimwenda. So she plays for the Vixens, but she's also the Malawian golf shooter. She unfortunately did her ACL in the game previously. And yeah, I got the call-up. And I honestly thought I'd probably just, you know, start on the bench and maybe play here or there, but to actually go out and run out a full game against the likes of Jeeva Mentor was pretty amazing.
That must have been pretty special, because regardless of being British or not, playing against people like that is just outstanding.
Absolutely. I was in Vixens with Jeeva back in 2016, so I knew Jeeva, and it was kind of like, you know, I wanted to hug her but kick her at the same time. And I guess I had a little bit of an upper hand because I knew how Jeeva did play. But I thought, at the end of the day, I need to go out there and give it my best go, because, you know, I thought to myself, I'm playing against Jeeva Mentor, who's probably the best goalkeeper in the world at the moment. So for someone like me, who's really a nobody, just come and play with her, I was just like, well, if she makes a fool out of me, she's Jeeva Mentor. So, yeah, I just thought, go out there, give it a good crack and see how we go.
The internet is a wonderful thing for researching, but at the same time, there's a fair bit of maybe less than facts on there. So I heard that you were contacted by three teams to join the Super League over here. Would that be true?
Yes.
Would it be fair to name them?
Yeah, so I was contacted by Surrey and I was contacted by Loughborough Lightning as well.
And what was it in particular that made you think, oh, well, you know what, Bath is maybe the right choice?
Well, those contacts fell through. You know, Loughborough was saying that I had to be a student to play for them, and being 30, I didn't really want to go to university. And then Surrey, I just wanted a bit more information, but then nothing sort of, she said that she'd already filled the team. So I was like, okay, well, you're obviously not that keen, so don't worry about it.
Were you aware much of the Super League over where you were at the time? Because I know that it doesn't get shown on TV, but...
I had a little bit of knowledge about it because I had a couple of friends that have come over and played previously. And my husband and I had originally thought about it a couple of years ago about potentially coming over, but it was just a bit tricky at the time. So we just, because I'd been out of the netball loop because I'd just been coming back from an injury, so no one really knew who I was. So thankfully that game with the Vixens very much opened a few doors for me.
Injuries are a pain anyway for any athlete really, but...
Yeah.
Was there anything in particular that kept you going during yours? Just take it day by day, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I suffered a fair amount of injuries and things like that. But for me, I've made so many good friends and I've travelled the world playing netball. And, you know, you do it because you love it. So I thought I've still got a few good years left in me at that point. So I just thought, why not give it a crack?
One of those first games for Bath as well was at Super 10, wasn't it? So what was that whole day like for you?
Yeah, it was really good. It was quite a little bit chaotic in terms of... we
ship you in, ship you out.
Basically, yeah, yeah. There's really no... I think for me, having played in the Suncorp and ANZ, it's a bit more set up due to having more financial backing and things like that. So I was, in a way, I'm very privileged to have played in those two competitions and experienced what they can offer an athlete. So for me, having to travel up on a bus the same day, all that type of stuff, I was like, oh, what's this all about?
Yeah.
You know, we're back home in Australia, we don't ever fly and play on the same day. So we would always fly the day before, stay in a hotel and potentially stay another night before we fly back.
No eating out of Tupperware boxes on the bus on the way to the game.
No, absolutely not. So we would have, our team manager would have a menu for us that we would be going to through on the weekend, and she'd say, okay, girls, what do you want? And we'd place our order. They'd order it, and then when we got to the restaurant, it would be there waiting for us. They would pre-order all of our food and stuff like that. So, yeah, we didn't have to. Just those little things, you know.
What about, I mean, it'll be an individual player anyway, but stuff like S&C over here? Maybe comparison the wrong word, but how were you finding things like that?
Yeah, so... The S&C program we've got here at Bath is really good. You know, Ricky does a really fantastic job, and we use the high performance gym at the university. So there's not too much difference in that, I guess. Our gym at the VIS, because I used to, with the Vixens, we used to be at the Victorian Institute of Sport.
Yeah.
Our gym is quite big, and you know, the fantastic facilities and things like that. And we had our own sort of strength and conditioning coach. So we had basically one coach designated to us where we have to sort of share Ricky around a little bit. but, you know, he puts a cracking program together for us. You know, we're all fighting fits and, you know, getting stronger and stronger and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, our programs, they're basically a blanket sort of program. So we don't really have individualized stuff. So we're back home because we did have one person designated to us. He could write individual programs. Which I think is where the league will head eventually as well, once we get a bit more financial backing and things like that.
Our sponsorship is getting there. Obviously, with the recent deal with Nike.
Yeah, definitely. There is a little bit of a gap in terms of a lot of the girls back home are full-time athletes and they're not really having to work, or they have little other bits and pieces on the side for them. We're over here, most of the girls are having to work full-time or study as well as playing netball. So it can be tricky with training schedules and things like that to make sure that, you know, we've still got time to actually go to work and come to training as well. So, but I have no doubt with the way that the England netball program is going, you know, the likes of the Roses, that potentially, like, in the next couple of years, it's going to go off over here. You know, you've got quality players that have been playing in Australia that are all coming back to play in their homeland. So, yeah. You know, it's great for the competition. And I think this year as well, because there's a few teams beating other teams that shouldn't be beating teams, and, you know, it's a bit more competitive, which I found really good, because, you know, it's more entertaining for the spectator as well. And ultimately, if you get spectators sitting in seats, you know, you're obviously going to be getting bigger crowds, more sponsorships, all of that.
Speaking of players coming back, you might have one in your team, Serena. What on earth is somebody like that like for you to play alongside?
Yeah, it's actually amazing. So I've known of Serena and Ebony as well because they're similar ages to me, and we used to play against each other when we were in under-21s, Australian and England sides. So I've sort of known those two for quite a while. But then when I was speaking with Anna, our coach, she was saying that, you know, we've got Serena, and I was just like, well, where do I sign? Like, she's the best centre going around at the moment, you know. So for me, that was an easy choice. I was just like, yeah, where do I sign? When do I come over? You know, to have someone like her feeding me. But not only that, what she brings around the court side, just her leadership and just her, the way she goes about things. And she's got good fun banter about her as well. Like, she's very much a free spirit. So very much loving my time having her around the court as well.
And pizza and coffee with a bit of luck once she gets that sorted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Had you played with Beryl before?
No. So Beryl and I didn't really know Beryl, but because all the girls just assumed that we knew, like, that we knew each other because they're like, oh, you know, in Australia. And I was like, yeah, guys, Australia's huge. you know, just to give you an indication. Yeah. So just an indication from where, you know, my husband grew up to where Beryl lived. It's nearly a 30-hour drive, and that's just from one state to the other. So it's a little bit bigger than they think it is. But Beryl had been playing in the state league side that I played with previously. And so my coach was like, you know, you and Beryl will get along quite well, which we do. We've always got a bit of fun banter. And, you know, all the girls sometimes don't know what we're talking about with our little Aussie slang. But she's a good sort. She's a good chick. So it's good to have a fellow Australian over here with me.
And what about some of the skills shown by the youngsters like Sophie and Mia? Oh, and I've got to include Rachel in here because she gave me a tenner.
Okay, so put this on the record. I could hardly call Mia young. She's 29. Come on, mate. she's only a year younger than me. They've got some great skills coming through. They train hard. They go hard at the ball. You know, they're not fazed by the people that they're playing against. Yeah, so, you know, it's a good mix that we've got in our team with the youth and the bit more experience as well. So I think it complements us well to have that sort of a steady head, but yet we've got these young kids that will just go and go and go as well.
Has it been as you expected? A bit better?
A bit up and down, actually. We've started to come good. We've just had a bit of a rocky start, and we've had a couple of injuries and things like that. So it has been disrupted. However, you know, I'm up for the challenge, and I know the girls are as well. So, you know, bring on the second half of the season.
And the fact that we've got people like Kat playing here, you, Ziggy, Marika, it's really adding something to fans over here. And it's nice on your part as well that you get a chance to play alongside these internationals as well.
Absolutely. And I think as well, it highlights the fact that this competition's not just, you know, England's comp. It's actually a good competition. You know, we've got some really strong athletes playing in here, and, you know, yes, there's a couple of older people playing here, but I mean, they're still at the top of their game. You know, they're still oohing and aahing at the crowd. They've got the crowds oohing and aahing, I should say, you know, and they're still being able to compete with the world's best. So, you know, it's not a bad eyelid at.
Are we on a par with the Suncor? Yeah.
Getting there. I think we're definitely getting there. You know, it's a different game over there, I suppose, just because of how Australian teams play, but definitely on the right track.
What's a typical week like training for you? How intense is it?
We do two court work sessions a week that go for about 2 hours, and then we're in the gym twice a week as well, and then in there we have an off-legs conditioning session and maybe just a little top-up as well. So we're doing at least 5 to 6 sessions a week. So it is still hard, and, you know, you've got to think of that a lot of us are having to work as well. So, you know, we go and do a full day's work and then we come to training and, you know, not getting home till 10 o'clock, have to give ourselves some food and sleep and then go again the next day. So that element can be quite tiring as well. Yeah, so... Yeah, it's different in that regard because a lot of the girls back home wouldn't generally be working so much. But, you know, it's
one of them. It's, yeah. You do it because you love it, don't you?
Absolutely. You know, I wouldn't have moved over the other side of the world with my husband with me if I didn't love the sport, you know. Yeah. It's definitely not a thing for me to go, oh, quick, I'm going to get rich off it. It's definitely because we love the sport and it's a life opportunity for us because we've never been over here. So, you know, to experience snow the first time ever was pretty amazing.
Did you go out and do snow angels in the yard?
Oh, mate, it was like a five-year-old child running around, honestly. My husband's like, oh, my God, Kim, like, calm down. I was like, nah.
You've had a chance to do a couple of the camps as well, haven't you? So what's that like for you, giving back to the people that go there and obviously nice to pass things on?
Yeah, I really like giving back to the community because I grew up in a country area. I was about a 6-7 hour drive from Sydney when I was a kid.
With no snow.
No, I was a coastal kid. We grew up on beaches. So for me to be able to give back is really great because I never had the opportunity of elite players to come and do clinics or camps or anything like that when I was a child and growing up. So I actually love it because it does bring a bit of joy. And you know, sometimes you don't know what's going on in other people's lives. You don't know if that's going to be, you know, a highlight of their week, their month, their year. So to give back just a couple of hours, you know, have a few photos and have a bit of fun with the kids. Yeah, it's really great, you know. I really enjoy it. I mean, it takes it out of you because it's exhausting, but it's well worth it.
Throughout your career, are you the kind of person that's been taking a note of the table on a week-by-week basis, or do you just think, you know what, I'm just going to get on plane?
I just take it as it comes. I roll with the punches. You know, I never thought that I'd be back playing ANZ, and then I got a call-up for the Vixens in 2016, you know, when Tegan Phillip did her ACL. So 2 weeks before the season started, I was called up, had 2 weeks of training, and then played round one against Sharni Leighton. So, you know, yeah, and then my world just completely upside down. You know, I literally signed a contract on a Sunday night, and then the following Thursday I lived in Melbourne. I'd been married for 6 months and then moved to Melbourne, left my husband back in Wollongong. And I was like, see you, honey, pack the house up, bye. And now I live in Bath, one of the most beautiful places in Britain.
Who's paid you to say that?
No, it hasn't. Yeah, but, you know, if Bath want to, you know, help me out with a few things.
Finally, just obviously you've had plenty of great coaches and lots of advice over your career, so maybe something you remember, something you'd like to pass on at the camps, that kind of thing?
Yeah, look, I mean, every coach has had a different experience and have sort of highlighted something for me. But for me personally, like, you know, you find enjoyment and you play better when you're enjoying it. So for me at the moment, because I'm playing well, but I'm enjoying it as well. So I think, you know, you do it because you enjoy it. So, you know, if you don't love something, don't do it. You got to find the passion and the love for the sport or whatever it is that you're doing. So, you know, that could be just with schooling or, you know, if you're going to go to uni or what your work is and stuff like that. So, you know, just have a love for it, I guess.
And maybe just a thanks to the Bath fans at the minute for being there and supporting you since you're getting
there. Yeah, absolutely. The last couple of home games have been absolutely fantastic. You know, they've gotten right behind us. It's just been unreal the last two games. Like, honestly, you come out and there's a roar of the crowd and then, you know, even just after the games as well, they all hang around, want to get photos and autographs and we're all hot and sweaty. And, you know, I think people sometimes take that for granted. So we're very lucky that we've got such a good fan base at Bath. And we hope to see them all at our future games as well. So, you know, bring that cheering along and, yeah, love it.
Before we go, don't forget about the incredible competition we have for you. But be quick as you only have until Wednesday the 17th of April to enter. Listen out for the phrase, reach beyond, as part of an interview. When you hear it, we need to know who said it and at what time in the podcast. Email your answer to us at mizuno@thenetballshow.co.uk before Wednesday the 17th of April for your chance to win.
And this is what one lucky winner will get. 2 VIP tickets to Ricoh Arena Games on Sunday the 21st of April. This will include VIP lounge access and food and drink. 1 cuddly toy of Sting the Wasp's mascot, ideal for any age and it's huge. Plus, the big one, a signed Wasps kit from the current squad. Thanks to Mizuno for that amazing prize. And full terms and conditions are at thenetballshow.co.uk/Mizuno.
All information about the competition is available on our Twitter and our website. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Netball Show with Mizuno. See you next week.
I didn't really think it was ever going to happen for us, and to score the winning goal. It's just every shooter's dream, and I'm having the best day of my life right now.
These medals just for today, and we actually want to win the World Cup.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show.
Scotland has been doing a really good job on the international stage.
We are thrilled that we've finally been able to announce Dan Ryan as our new senior head coach.
Welsh netball is in a really strong position at the moment. It's a real privilege for captain both the Celtic Dragons and the Welsh national team.